As you know, I've been preaching in Genesis chapter 1 in the last 2 weeks, and I'm continuing in that today because it does relate to the harvest theme. Remember, 2 weeks ago we spoke of the first words of Genesis 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And then last week we saw how the Spirit and the Word of God changed a chaotic earth into a place of land and sea, of trees and vegetation, of fish and birds, of land animals, and finally man. The earth became the garden of the Lord. Amidst this huge universe, with all its stars and galaxies and planets, God chose this planet, the planet Earth, and He turned it into His garden in all the universe. And in His garden, which is this world where we live, He planted fruit-bearing trees, animals, and mankind. And His command to man was to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We read that in verse 27 and 28 of Genesis 1. "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" God's command to man was bring about a great harvest, a harvest of goodness and truth which would fill the whole earth. Man was made in the image of God, we read. That means at least that we were given to share in the love of God, the truth of God, and the freedom of God. God wants man to be fruitful and fill the earth with love and truth and freedom. And I mention the word freedom for this reason. God did not want mankind merely to be robots, but He wanted us to decide for ourselves how we should live. He did not want us to be mere machines which He could control by the press of a heavenly button and the pull of a heavenly lever. He wanted us to be free to make our own decisions about life. Only so would we be made in His image, and only so would we be truly human and truly able to love. So God made us as human beings so that we could think for ourselves. We can think sort of questions like this: what should I be doing while I live upon this earth? And we can decide, I will do this or I will do that with my life. And that thinking that you have, that freedom to think and that freedom to decide, is what we call your human soul. It is your soul. Animals do not think and decide like that. They are not free. They merely follow their feelings and their instincts. That's what animals do. But human beings are different. We don't have to follow our feelings and our instincts, though they are useful, but we also can think for ourselves independently of how we feel. And we can make decisions. We may feel like doing this thing, but we can decide that it is right to do that thing and not to do this thing. That's why God gave human beings the responsibility to rule the world of nature. He gave us that responsibility to rule it, not harshly, but respecting the world of nature which he had created and which he had said was very good. You and I, as human beings, are responsible for what happens on the planet Earth. We are responsible for the kind of harvest it bears. Whether it bears a fruit of love and joy and peace, or whether it bears thorns of hate and misery and war, we really are responsible. God really did give us freedom, authority, and responsibility. So when things go wrong in this world, when there's suffering and pain and tragedy and war, we should not blame God for these things. Many people do blame God. They say, why did God do this? Why did God allow that? He gave us the responsibility. He gave us the authority to rule this world. Notice in this verse, God commands us to subdue the earth. God had brought the earth to beautiful order. That was the subject of last week's message. He gives us the task of filling the earth with even more beauty. In other words, he gives us the wonderful task in sharing in his work. Not all of us can fill the earth with beauty as he does, or all in the same way. But let me just give you three examples. Some of us human beings are scientists. Now our job as scientists, if we're scientists, before God, is to examine the world. To see how God made things, how they work, so that we can praise God even more. Some of us may be engineers or farmers. That is to use our knowledge to use the world's resources for the good of mankind and for the good of the earth. Some of us may be musicians or artists. Our job, our task before God is to fill the world with more and more beauty of art and music. It is a wonderful thing to be a human being. Made in God's image, with the task to bring a great harvest of beauty and truth and love from the world for God and for ourselves. What would happen if we used our freedom, which God gave us, to do the one thing that we shouldn't do? The one thing that we shouldn't do is this. It's to break our soul away from God. And that's what we have done. That's what the story of Adam and Eve is about, which we'll come to in the coming weeks. Breaking our soul away from God, so that when we ask, why am I here upon this earth? We don't know the answer to the question. You know, most people today in our country have no idea why they're alive upon this earth. When we ask, what should I decide to do with my life? We'll decide not according to reason and freedom as God's children, but only according to our feelings, like the animals. That's what happens when our soul is broken away from God. We get governed only by our feelings, like the animals, and our reason and our freedom diminishes. That's the story of Adam and Eve, which I'll preach on in the coming weeks. But that is what has happened in the world. So now what happens? The world will be filled with not only love and truth, but also with the thorns of hate and cheating and fighting. The New Testament tells us that the earth is groaning. It's groaning. We have misused our science to make weapons for killing. We've misused our art and music so that some of it is ugly and vicious. And so now there is a mixture in the world. There is the wheat and also the weeds. And that mixture of wheat or good seed and weeds is in all of us, in each of our hearts. And if we leave things as they are, then the weeds will get strong and the wheat will be choked in each one of us. But God has not left us. The message of the gospel is that in his Son he has come to us to reconcile us to himself. He bore the jagged weight of human sin upon his head, symbolized in the crown of thorns which he wore when he died for us. He even entered our separation, just as we've broken our soul off from God. So Jesus, dying on the cross, said in our place, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt the separation that there is between the human soul and God. But just a few moments later, he was able to say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And believing in him, you and I can commit, recommit our spirits, our souls to God. We still have to go through death in order to see full life. But now is the time to choose whether we're going to sow to the flesh, that is, merely be governed by our own feelings, or to sow to the Spirit, our freedom as children of God. And every day of our lives we are making decisions which are either sowing to our flesh or sowing to the Spirit, enabling the weeds to grow stronger in us or enabling the good fruit to grow stronger in us. May God help each one of us to bring forth the fruit of everlasting life, that we by his grace may cut out the weeds, that the plant may be pruned to bring forth good fruit, to be strong and tall and beautiful for the Lord. A plant which will stand secure beyond death in eternity. May God bless us all. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, prepare us for that last day when the harvest of the earth is revealed, when the weeds are taken away and the grain, the good grain, is gathered in to the barn. By thy grace, O God, we would ask thee to cut out of our lives all weeds, all things that waste our time, spoil our freedom as your children, and enable us to bring to birth and to growth and to full harvest those things of your eternal love and spirit. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep guard over your hearts and thoughts in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.